September 9th. I woke up around 10, fixed myself a cup of coffee, and started on the pamphlet. After all this time, I still can't believe that I'm actually holding it in my hands. The only existing document of its kind that proves that the Lost Opera is not just an urban legend. I've read through the pamphlet several times. Usman managed to stay cryptic even with something like a pamphlet. There's no composer notes or introductions. Thankfully, the brief synopsis of the opera is included. According to the pamphlet, the opera was performed in 4 acts. The list of the performers is likewise included, but it is surprisingly short. Tamara Corelli played the role of Ada, the main character and protagonist. Dahlia Fleming played the role of the goddess Hecate. There is a short list of minor acting roles. I don't recognize any of the names. There is also a woman choir credited in the pamphlet. The Choir of Antimony. Never heard of it, but I'm making a note to myself to research this later. There's almost nothing in the thematic notes section, except a brief paragraph about the origins of the goddess Hecate and her role in the Greek pantheon. Usman included a section on sponsors and acknowledgments, but it looks fairly generic. I didn't find anything unusual about it. When it comes to the synopsis, I find it surprising that Mortus Messis took a step back from the kind of settings and scenarios typical for Usman. The first act is almost canonical for the genre. Ada, the heroine, is at a bohemian party, drinks from a poison chalice, and passes out. So far it feels theatrical, dramatic. But then things start to shift. Ada dies in the very first scene of the opera. Her soul is carried away by a golden river into the underworld. She makes peace with the circumstances and contemplates finally meeting the enigmatic deity she served all her life, Hecate. Unfortunately for Ada, the river brings her straight to the gates of hell. The second act unfolds as Ada realizes she might be trapped in hell forever. The very moment she arrives, the iron gates of hell open, and she is judged for her sins. Betrayal, deceit, pride, greed, lust. She sees the ghastly images of all the people she wronged during her life. One by one, she recalls their stories. Her youngest victim was a 16-year-old housekeeping girl. Ada knowingly spread the rumor about the girl being romantically involved with a married man, a husband of the girl's employer. Innocent, but shunned by her family, the poor girl drowns herself. Helpless and worried about the seriousness of her offenses, Ada desperately prays to Hecate to save her. Then comes Act 3, the trial of Ada's soul. The trial is orchestrated by demons and devils, excited to be welcoming such a prominent sinner into their ranks. Unexpectedly, a mysterious choir of hooded figures walks into the hall where the trial takes place, but they do not interfere. The demons proceed with the trial, documenting Ada's every flaw. And just when everything seems lost for Ada, the hellish flames in the judgment hall die out. And out of the darkness, Hecate appears. The mysterious group of hooded figures is revealed to be Umbuse. They sing to Hecate's arrival. I had to look up what Umbuse means, and thankfully it wasn't hard. Ebusa is a shape-shifting monstrous female being in Greek mythology. These creatures were associated with Hecate, often described in classical sources as her servants. In late antiquity, they have been characterized as a category of phantoms or specters. Similar to Lamia, they were thought to seduce and feed on young men. As Abuse celebrate Hecate's arrival with the song, the goddess offers to save Ada from eternal damnation, but only if she proves her devotion. Without hesitating, Ada swears herself to eternal service to the goddess. In the fourth act, Ada is taken to the Kingdom of Night, a world ruled by Hecate. It's dark, chaotic, full of madness. Ada's transformation from heroine to servant is complete. And the grotesque ballet of Abuse celebrates her arrival. This feels overwhelming. Usman's other operas flirted with the idea of forbidden knowledge, and this one feels different. Ritualistic somehow. Ada isn't a Faustian character. This opera isn't about her falling from grace or being slowly seduced by knowledge or power. She's framed as an unapologetic sinner from Act One. And that housekeeping girl's story seems autobiographical. Ustman's wife divorced because of something similar. I need to revisit my notes. The puzzle is coming together, but I'm still missing some key pieces. I need to find out as much as I can about that necklace.